I want to take as our sermon text here a portion of the gospel lesson from the Gospel of John in chapter 2 here. And the title of the sermon is The Sign of the Cross. It might not be exactly what you think, but The Sign of the Cross is the title of the sermon from John 2. Let's hear the word of the Lord. So the Jews said unto him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word and, Lord, the various passages that you have brought before us here this day, the giving of the law, the fact that, Lord Jesus, on the cross, Lord, that law was nailed to the cross. And that all of those ordinances that were written, those legal briefs against us, were crucified there. And the cost and the price for them were all paid. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the reminder here today in the New Testament reading that indeed the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks, all of Western culture, seeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Make it so in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The sign of the cross. It is far too common for us, especially us who are in the English-speaking world, to view any and all sign lingo as exclusively visual. You think about what a blessing, and it is a great thing that we have a thing such as sign language, but sign language is completely visual with no audio aspect to it whatsoever. Reduced even further, the sign of the cross for many people, and especially in our particular culture here, it's no more than a visible and a physical ritual whereby the geometry of the cross is shaped. Far more impressive and far fuller in the way the Bible describes it, in Bible understanding, is a sign and the sign of the cross that is not simply visible and not simply physical action. The English words signal and significance, although they come from the same root in the Greek, they really indicate something a little bit different than that which is exclusively visual. A signal may be visual, but it also may be received through the other senses. Sometimes we can send a very strong signal by means of a touch, or through taste, or through fragrance. And of course, a signal or alarm may be heard. Most of us are awakened each and every day to a signal, but it's an audible signal. It's an alarm clock or a clock radio. It's a signal, not something visual, but something audible, something that is heard. Therefore, when the Jews ask for and Jesus gives a sign, commonly, it is to be understood as something that is audible, even though many times people think of a sign as only that which is visible. Likewise, the sign of the cross that we're going to be exploring here today involves a message. It's a message that is to be preached, and it is a message that is to be heard. Of course, signs can be visible. And the Jews even asked to be shown a sign. If we look at verse 19 from this passage here, the Jews asked him, and they said, "What sign do you show?" They themselves were thinking of something visible. What sign do you show? And yet Jesus answers them. He doesn't display visibly anything. They ask for a sign that is shown to them. But notice, when they ask for the sign, Jesus does not show any. Jesus does answer. I didn't put this scripture in here, but remember Romans. And remember what we're doing in Sunday school the whole time. In Romans, it tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so we are to be people who are not led astray by things visual, but we are to be those who are kept in line, even seeing the fullness of God by way of what we hear in the hearing of the ear. And that's why the Jews and the people of God were always people of the book. Not so much so that they could see it, but so that they could hear it in their life and in their minds. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Furthermore, the sign that Jesus gives is the cross. Look at verse 19 again. He says, destroy this temple. And verse 21 makes it plain, verse 21 in this passage, that when he talks about destroying this temple, he is talking about his body. He's talking about the cross. He makes it plain that the temple is his body and his body is the cross. And the destruction of the temple was his crucifixion on that cross. They asked for a sign, and what does he do? He preaches the cross. They asked for a sign. He preaches the cross. They asked for a sign, and he gives them the sign of the cross. Not this motion, but he gives them the signal that is the cross, the alarm that is the cross, the word that is the cross, the warning that is the cross, the blessing that is the cross. Do you want a sign from God? Do you want a sign from God in your life? Do you want a signal from God that God loves you? If that's true of you, then I say this. Then listen to and listen for the preaching of the cross. The fact that you are here today is a signal. You're hearing the preaching of the cross. You are receiving the sign of the cross today in the hearing of this sermon. You in this sermon are hearing the signal, the alarm, that God loves you through this, the preaching of his word. The Greek word for sign used here in some 75 or more other places in the New Testament is semion or simeon. We get the word in the name, simeon, from this. Simeon means simply a sign. And what is a sign? A sign is an authenticating, miraculous power. Something occurs describing and displaying his eternal purposes. And so many times in the Bible we have thunder being heard as a sign. We have wine being tasted as a sign. We have a rainbow being seen as a sign. And we have healing being felt as a sign. What is the first sign that Jesus performed? His first miracle, his first simeon, his first display of authenticating power of what his eternal purposes on earth were going to be? That first sign was turning water into wine. And this also is in John 2. When the master of the feast tasted, the sign came by way of not sight, but tasting. When the feast, he tasted the water that had now become wine. He did not know from where it came, although the servants of the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, everyone serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his simeons, the first of his indicators, alarms, displays of miraculous power of his eternal purposes. That's what signs means. Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and many of the disciples then believed on him. Authenticating miraculous power, eternal purposes. How is that displayed here? Through transformation. Because water is turned into wine. How is it authenticating the purposes of his eternal power? Because he saves the best for last. Both are on display here. Transforming power and saving the best for last. That's what the sign of the cross does as well. The cross transforms us. And the cross reveals his eternal purposes because he saves the best for last. And you know what? Our best day is not Monday. Our best day is not Friday. Our best day is not even Sunday. Our best day is when we arrive at heaven's gates. Now, not only is all of this true, but let's be rememberingly reviewing how it came to pass. In this gospel lesson of John 2 and verses 21 and 22, it's not about what we see. It's about what we hear. How do I know that? Let's look at these verses. But when he was speaking about the temple of his body, when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. All of these cues are audible. They're all through the ear. They're not about what they saw. The word is the sign, and the sign is the word. Don't forget John 20 and 29 here. You remember the story on the following the resurrection there with Thomas? Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Have you believed because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's reinforcing that idea that audible signs matter, and they matter the most. In another place, Jesus says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I didn't put this in there, but that's in John 15 and 3. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There's power there. Power to transform and power to reveal his eternal purposes in saving the best for last. Of course, the Jews wanted that visible, visual sign. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 22, we see this. The Jews demand signs, and the Greeks seek for wisdom. They wanted a sign, but what did they get? They wanted a sign. They wanted something they would see, and what they got was something to be heard. What they got was preaching. Look at verse 23. But we preach. The Jews want a sign. They want something to see. Maybe you want something to see, but what are you going to get from God? You're going to get something to hear. You are going to get the preaching of Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to Jews. It's folly to the Gentiles. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. The word is the sign, and the sign is the word. By the way, look how this passage opens, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. In the Old King James, it says, for the preaching of the cross is folly. The word is logos there. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The logos of the cross is the sign of the cross. The logos of the cross is the sign of the cross. It is that authenticating, miraculous power of his eternal purposes. For those who use the sign of the cross, and there are many in our surrounding culture who do so, and I want to be careful at how I address this. But for those who use the sign of the cross as some sort of superstitious lucky charm, their greater error is not to be found in thinking too much of the cross. It is in their thinking too little of the cross. They're using it as some superstitious lucky charm, when in fact it is the authenticating power of God's eternal purposes. There's nothing wrong with the visual use of the sign of the cross. Just don't view it as some minimal little ritual thing. The cross of Jesus Christ is to be gloried in. Look at this building and look at the very minor amount of decoration that we have in here. But what do you see? What do you see when you see the lights? The cross of Jesus Christ is to be gloried in. We read that in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14. As a matter of fact, not only is it to be gloried in, it's the only thing to be gloried in. Far be it from me to boast, except save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the old King James says, for which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. St. Paul made the cross of Jesus Christ his central theme. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That cross where Christ was crucified demonstrated that authenticating, miraculous power of God, which is how he closes down that argument in verse 5. That your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, you can go places and you can hear all sorts of kind of stories from men and wisdom from men. And, you know, the church in America has become this celebration of how to. You know, how to be a better husband. And these things aren't bad. Okay? But they're not the gospel. I can remember one time I went into a bookstore. And I was looking for the section on where the Christian books were. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I finally went up to the counter and I asked the guy, where are the books about the Christian faith here? And he says, they're over there in that aisle. And he said, they're right next to self-help. They're right next to what he said was, they're right next to auto repair. Auto repair means the same thing as self-help. The Christian faith is not about us helping ourselves or even us helping each other. As important as those two things are, the Christian faith is about the cross of Jesus Christ, which is a sign of God's authenticating eternal purposes, which transforms us and makes the best for last. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ does, and that's what the Christian faith is about. It indeed worked his eternal purposes. You might be saying, you know, what was the big deal about the cross? What happened there? What did God actually do there? Earlier today in our scripture readings, we heard about the law. We sang about the law as we sung Psalm 19. We sang about and learned about the Ten Commandments. Take a look at Colossians 2 and 14. What happened at the cross? Christ was canceling the record of debt that stood against us in its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to his cross. Talk about power. This isn't just auto repair. This isn't just self-help. This isn't even helping your neighbor. This is something that no earthly power on earth can accomplish. What Jesus accomplished on the cross for you and for me. The cross was and is this authenticating, miraculous power of his eternal purposes. Now, of course, we are not to be worshiping an inanimate object like a piece of wood or a cross. The cross was just a piece of wood. And all subsequent replications are also, whether they're made out of wood or some sort of metal and jewelry or plastic or whatever, those replications are also just mere objects, which God still forbids that we worship. The sign of the cross, though, was that God could take an object of wrath like the cross and transform it into an object of love. When you see the cross, you should think this is a method of crucifixion. This is a method of corporal punishment. This is a message of death. Death from God, wrath from God, death from the state, wrath from the state. And God took that and he transformed it into an object of love, revealing his eternal purposes. The sign of the cross was that God took that object of wrath and he transformed it into an object of love. He did that with the cross. He did that with the crucifixion of his son. But he also does it with you and I. Because you know what? I'm an object of God's wrath in my sinful state. And so are you. He did that with the cross. He did it with the crucifixion. But he does it for me and he does it for you. He changes us. He transforms us. We, who were objects of his wrath, are now the objects of his love. You who were once sons of disobedience, has he redeemed?
and made you his precious sons. So we don't worship those objects, but we worship that sign. We worship the authenticating power of his eternal purposes. We don't worship a piece of wood, just like we don't worship that which was transformed like the water into wine. We don't worship the wine. We don't worship ourselves, because we too have been transformed. Do we worship water? No. Do we worship wine? No. But we worship the God who transforms the water into the wine. And we worship the God who transforms us. The sign of the cross is that God took wretched sinners like you and me, and he made us into those who are his holy ones. He has made us into those who are his sons and his daughters. The sign of the cross was that place where the Holy One of God became sin. Talk about a transformation. It's not just about us being wretched who become righteous in his sight. It's that he who was holy and knew no sin became sin for us. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For our sake, he made him, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It was at the cross that all of this took place. This was and this is the message of the cross. This was and is the word of the cross. This was and is the preaching of the cross. This was and is the sign of the cross. What's it all about? It's about this. This authenticating, miraculous power that reveals his eternal purposes. And because all of that is true, we know that this is true. Jesus Christ was and is the Christ of the cross that we worship. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word, that it is powerful. Lord, we thank you that your word accomplishes that which it is set forth to do. Father, we thank you that we don't come here to church for auto repair. We don't come for self-help. We come because you are here. Father, as we know you, we come here to sacrificially offer the calves of our lips in worshiping you. And so we would ask that you would help us to be those priests who are ever making those sacrifices of praise unto you. We ask that you would help us to be those kings who are building dominion for your kingdom. Father, we ask that you would help us to be those prophets who know you, who counsel with you, and who speak your truth, setting forth your plans for this world. Father, we thank you that all of this is made possible through the transforming work and the sign of the cross of Jesus Christ. You have been good. We praise you and we thank you for these things, and help us to sing hallelujah for the cross. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.